effective.
Okay.
So we're good. Okay. I'm Ian, I'm alcohol. So we got that cleared up. And so I'm grateful to be here. Thank you, Lonnie. Thank you, everybody. Apologize for being where I'm at and not in a place that would be a lot more conducive to do this, but there's also somebody that's not muted, and I'm getting a lot of feedback. Is everybody muted?
Yep, so if everyone can go on mute, and I'm even wondering
if, does anyone else hear that or no?
There's some feedback. I'll make sure everybody's on mute, but I'm also wondering if maybe if we go on, turn our video off, we'll have more bandwidth.
Okay, there we go. Perfect. Okay, so we're here, we're clear. We're going to talk about the fear grid and the fear inventory. And it's a real important inventory. My name's Ian, I'm an alcoholic. I have a sobriety date, I have a sponsor. My sobriety date's November 6, 2006. I have a sponsor, Ron Boyum, and I have been through the Big Book Awakening process, and I've taken people through the Big Book Awakening process. And when most people talk about the fourth step, they think about resentment inventory, and then they kind of stop. And you want me to turn off the video? Certainly. Got it. Okay. How's that? Better? There we go. So people talk about fourth step, and they talk about resentment inventory, and they never really get involved or talk in meetings and stuff about fear inventory and the sex inventory, which to me is of my motives and habits and relationships. And they all tie together. The fear inventory is extremely crucial for me, at least my experience. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it. I'm going to talk about the fear grid that was put together in the Big Book Awakening process. I want to follow in our big book, I Into the Fear. So on the bottom of 67, it says, notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. Well, the key really here is this, that I have to understand if I'm taking a third step like it was read here, and I'm saying the prayer with complete abandon, it's important for me, and when I work with people, for them to understand what are my difficulties I'm asking God in the third step to take away, because they're talking about them here in the fear inventory. And what we're really looking at is our third column of the resentment inventory, our seven areas of self, and it's not my self-esteem, my pride, my security, ambition, my relations, or my finances. It's how they show up in my life. What we're really looking at here is how do I play God? And that's what it all boils down to. How does Ian play God? Those are my difficulties that I play God. And then it says the short word touches every aspect of my life. It's an evil corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. And for those, I'm not going to go too deep into it. If you understand textiles, in order to get a color, you have to shoot other colors into the threads. When it was woven, today they dye them, it's different. So if you wanted something pink, you had a lot of white and then you shot red through it. And they're talking to me about that this evil and corroding thread is, it's my part of my existence. And then it talks about setting in motion trains of circumstances what brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, but did not we ourselves set the ball rolling. So back on page 62, it's going to talk about we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Why do I step on them? Because I'm driven by 100 forms of fear. Fear is not just one fear, and we're going to see it in the grid. There's hundreds of forms of fear, and fear drives my whole existence. And we're going to understand in a second, why do I have fear? And how can I deal with fear? Because I hear a lot of good intention people about dealing with fear, and I'm not sure they mean well, but I'm not sure they really understand. See, way back on page 52, in the area we called the bedevilments, but they're really not the bedevilments, they're these bedevilments. There's thousands of bedevilments in my life, at least. And fear is one of them, but it's not just fear. It says I'm full of fear. See, it's okay to have some fear in my life, but am I being driven by it? Am I full of it? Is it dictating who I be and how I show up? Is fear driving my existence in relationships, how I show up to this world? So it says sometimes we think it ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. You know, fear steals from me and it steals from you. Fear shows up in my life and it robs me of the promises that I can have in this process, but it robs everybody around me also. It robs everything like a ripple effect, like a little pond and a little pebble thrown in the pond. And each ring goes out of what my fear creates. So we have directions in the book. It says we reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper. Well, we can start by looking at, if you've been through the Big Book Awakening process, in the third column, we have our seven areas of self. You know, we first look at who and then what they did to me. And now we're going to look at how I play God. And we look at the seven areas of self and my self-esteem, my pride, my ambition, my insecurity, my personal, my sexual relations, and my pocketbook or finances. And adjacent to each one of those is a little bracket with fear. And what's the fear that drives this stuff? And so we got a list of fears there. Then we go through that. Book tells us to go back to the list. It holds the key to the future. We look at a realization. And then the Big Book Awakening gives us another column, another list to write on. And we look at self-seeking behavior, selfish attitudes. We look at the delusion, you know, the dishonesty. And then we look at the fear that drives it. And if you look at page 62 for a second, where it says selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. And it says driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. See, that's basically the reverse of our fourth column. Fear, self-delusion, which is dishonesty, delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, my selfishness. So it's in reverse. Just like when we get to the first step, everyone thinks that that whatever I do, my common manifestation of addiction is the problem. That's not the problem. But we go that way. We start with the first half of the first step, that we can't stop a behavior, action, or a substance. And then we realize that we have a secondary problem. We can't stay stopped. But underneath that can't stay stopped is a third problem, that I'm spiritually disconnected. And that sets up a condition conducive for me to say, get out of the pain. Doctor's opinion says it's restless, irritable, and discontent, unless we once again can experience the sense of ease and comfort. So we desire to remove the ease and comfort. And when we do that, we start the cycle. In page 23, it tells us it would be pointless and academic if we never picked up starting the terrible cycle in motion. So it tells me there that the main problem centers in my mind, not my body. So what's centering behind all of this and why I'm talking about this is a spiritual malady. It's the biggest secret in recovery. Nobody talks about it. And what's the driving factor of the spiritual malady? Belief and guidance in God. See, I can believe in God all I want, but if I don't have access to the power, I'm not going to have guidance. And we're going to see, okay, why is this guy talking about this when we're talking about fear? Well, I'm going to show you. Because we have this fear grid. You can't see my video because it's off. But if you've been through the Big Book Awakening, we have a fear grid. So we have all these fears. We listed them on paper. We take them. And then we have some fears that weren't in connection with resentments that may come out. You know, but mostly those are external fears. We're going to primarily focus on the internal self-centered type fears. And we're going to look at lots of different areas of self here, because we're going to see a conclusion of a third step consideration that my life run on self-will can't be successful. So we're going to see all the ways I try and run my life and the fears that drive them. So it says, we review our fears, we put them on paper, even though we had no resentment and connection with them. Well, I would say for me, and everyone has their own experience in this, 95% of my resentments were connected to fear. It says, we asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had great self-confidence, self, but it didn't solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. This is because I believe the third column is true. That's why it gets worse. So how do I do this now? So I get this fear grid. And the fear grid for me is absolutely ingenious, especially early in inventories. You know, you could go deeper outside of the Big Book Awakening and look at fears at a whole different level. But for the purpose of this, I'm going to stick to the Big Book Awakening, and I'll probably throw a little couple twists in of what I do today. But really what I'm looking at is my self-centered fears that drive the resentments. And some of them are actually guiding beliefs in my life. You know, they're deeper than the resentments. You know, our Big Book Awakening calls them principal inventory. They're really fears. They're guiding beliefs that drive my life. Like, I'm not good enough. I'll never be in a relationship. I'm not worthy. I'll never be respected. When I have these valued, how about valued? Probably one of the greatest things I see, especially, and no disrespect, I'm just sharing my experience, but a lot of women I've sponsored over the years seek validation. Guys too, listen, I do it myself, but I'm saying, and what they do to seek validation is sometimes not really what they want to do. So we look at the fears, and I'll use that for one. So I might have had something in my third column along the lines of pride, you know, that others should see I'm worthy. And maybe my fears being not worthy or not valued, you know, need validation here. And so I'll take those and I put them on the list and I write them down and I write a bunch, not perfect, not good enough, being disrespected, being defective, acknowledged, you know, there's, you know, I could go through, you know, not needed, emotion, you know, left out, alone, not trustworthy. I mean, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of being liked, fear of being unliked, you know, fear of being broke, fear of being rich. You know, there's crazy fears that, for me, that I have sometimes. But we're going to look at these fears. And we're going to see that in the grid system, I write a fear down. Okay, I'm not valued. So if I'm not valued, then what? I'll be less than. And I'm just using a primary basic example. I can probably pull one up. I tried to grab a fear inventory of mine that I wrote recently. By the grace of God, I haven't had to write a lot of fear inventory in a long time. But I did write some. Maybe I'll get to it. But anyhow, so, okay, I'm not valued. So I ask myself, why do I have this fear? Right? Because I'll be less than. Okay, so if I'm less than, then what? Why do I have a fear of being less than? You know, I'll pick up. Well, if I pick up, what's going to happen? Well, I'll die. Okay? Or maybe worse, I won't die and I'll want to die. See, I failed at living and I failed at dying. I'll hate myself. I'll be miserable. And I keep going down and keep asking myself, why do I have this fear? Why do I have this fear? Why? And really the tool is, and it's really good when I work with somebody that doesn't understand the level of fear. They think they have no fear, but then they realize they have a lot of fear. So because I don't, and Dara, because I don't have Erlani or somebody video showing, just feel free to interrupt when there's 5 minutes and just say 5 minutes. So a lot of my fear stem around not good enough. Okay, that I'm not good enough. And what happens if I'm, why am I fear not good enough? Because I'll be a failure. And if I'm a failure, I'll be alone. And if I'm alone, you know, then I'll be in emotional pain. And if I'm in emotional pain long enough, I'll pick up. And if I pick up, I'll die. And, you know, like in the Big Book Awakening process, they talk about no God. I don't have that fear. You know, like that never really, as strange as it seems, like I don't have this deep belief of what happens when I die, after I die. I have a fear that everybody that relies on me will be taken care of properly. But what we're trying to look at here is self-reliance failing. What's self-reliance? It's me running the show, me trying to fix everything. It's basically current agnosticism. It's underneath every fear. See, the reason I have fear is because I don't trust God. I'll tell you all you want to know about how much I believe in God, but put my face in the mirror and I'll show you how I don't trust him. See, there's certain areas in my... 5 minutes?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So, and this is the ironic part of this whole process is, like, I'm afraid to trust God. And because I'm afraid to trust God, I'm in fear. It's like a vicious cycle because I'm scared of what's going to happen if I let go of my wanting to control and fix everything, to control what's going to happen. See, the reason there's fear around me is because I want to know the outcome before it happens. I want to be in control. See, I'd love to have the ability to tell you the score of a game before it starts, then I wouldn't be worried about what's going on during the game. And my guys that are out there playing right now across the back of this property that I'm at, you know, so fear, there's a direct relationship between trusting God and fear. So the book says it, we trust finite God rather than we trust infinite God rather than finite self. See, it's easy to read this and say, oh, okay, I'm in the world to play the role God assigns. Well, this book was written in past tense after the fact they went through this and had the experience. When you're in it right now, and when you're driven by fear and you're in fear, it's very hard to see light at the end of the tunnel. It's a dark hallway with curtains pulled down. And I'm just trying to walk my way through it, you know. And the interesting part is in the beginning of how it works, before the steps, when what you read at the meetings, there's a line that basically says something to the effect that, you know, we stand at the turning point. Here's a place to stand at the turning point. And now I've got to ask God for his protection and care with complete abandon. You know, I need God in my life or I'm going to have fear. And if you look at all the promises around the book, they all relate to a relationship with God. And then the byproduct of it is all these good things in life, useful. Fears fall from us. You know, we're happy, you know, and it's just a simple process, but a very difficult execution. So the book tells me that if I want to match calamity with serenity, I must humbly rely on him and play the role he assigns. I have to get out of the business of playing the role I assign, me or you. And see, I can play God in my life. That's what causes the fear. Because now I need to tell God what's supposed to happen, what it's supposed to look like. And so then there's some more writing in the book, some considerations about what to do and how people act. And it's so there's twice in this book where it talks about a fear prayer. There are probably more, but I'm going to focus on two. First is right here on 68. And so when you're in fear,
first thing I have to do is identify the fear. I have to identify why I'm having the fear, right? Because I'm trying to control it and I can't, and I want to, but really it's telling me we ask God to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be, not do, be. It's a big, big difference. What would God have me be? Well, if I go back to my third step decision, God would have me be his child, right? He'd have me be the actor, not the director. He'd have me be the agent, not the principal, the employee, not the employer, right? That's what God would have me be. And so if I be that, I can start to outgrow fear, because it's, again, a byproduct of trusting and relying on God. I have faith that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to, not just the way I want to. And there's a huge, you know, some people call them the third step promises. They're really terms and conditions of having the relationship. And on top of 63, it tells me when I take the position, I get a lot of things happening. A new employer, I'm on a new footing. I'm more and more interested in you than me. I get this new power and peace of mind, and I can face life successfully. And when I'm conscious of his presence, so what's that word conscious look like? I'm awake to his presence. See, there's another thing that, and again, my experience,
and I should just so say, that you know, your time is up, but if you want to just wrap it up, feel free.
Okay. I'll wrap this up real quick then. There's when I face life successfully, it's a byproduct of my relationship with God. The consciousness of his presence is the awakened awareness that I can't get any closer to God than I am right now. God's here with me. I can't get closer. He's deep down inside of me. All I need to do is face and be rid of what's inhibiting me from having the trust and relationship with him. And it tells me my fears, I lose the fears of today, tomorrow, and hereafter. I'm reborn. So I'll wrap this up by saying this, that if you're riddled with fear, or when I'm riddled with fear, we have tools. The idea of the fear grid that you guys asked me to share about is to identify all the fears I have and then to see the truth of the nature of them. They all are related to my lack of belief and trust in God. Maybe not so much belief, but trust. And I don't have trust because I'm not accessing the power. And that's what the fifth step and the sixth and seventh are about, so that I can see what's objectionable, the nature of my defects. I can have this new relationship with my creator. I can be willing to change and go into seven and have God take all of me, the good and bad. I'm no longer in the judgment business. I'm no longer in the outcome business. And I can have this beautiful life and be of maximum service to God and the people about me. So thanks for having me share. I appreciate it. I'm sorry for going over.
Thank you, Ian. Well, I just think that everybody could just listen for quite a long time. It's so such a great subject. Thank you. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now.